Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Well, you want me to tell you what's really going on? Okay, so the short version or the long version or the medium version?
Medium.
The medium version. Okay, so let's go back. So obviously we know that we have a new administration in town, right? There's a new sheriff in town, right? And he sort of came in with this idea that tariffs were a good idea. And it's the tried and true is not a policy that's one that's worked. It's never really worked, right? And, you know, he has this sort of, you know, arrogance about America that he thinks that everybody's out to screw him and that everybody's not carrying their weight, whether it's in NATO, whether it's in tariffs or anything like that. So, you know, he came in with this idea that he's going to new sheriff in town. He's going to take over the world. It's a sort of a real ego play, and it's a bit of aggressive arrogance. And so the idea was that he's going to impose tariffs on everybody. For some reason, makes perfect sense, though, just the term tariffs and the market have an absence. It's like oil and water. If you go back to Trump 1.0, when he was at Davos the first time, he mentioned tariffs and China, the market went down 1,400 points that day. And then the minute he started talking and he saw the response of the market, even though he claims he doesn't watch the market, he watches the market. I believe he's trading the market, but that's another story. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, the market was down 1,400. By the end of the day, the market had rebounded and was up 2,800 points. So the market is just watching every word that he says. I kind of really think that there's some trading of the market going on. Anyway, so February 19th, we had once again regained record highs, right? Right? Coming out of the, you know, there are, at the end of last year, right, Federal Reserve in their last meeting, you know, cut guidance for 2024 and 2025 to two cuts only because the economy was so strong, right? We had the best 2 years, 23 and 24 were up 25%. So the market and the economy have been great. So in my opinion, we had Biden handed him a box that was a beautiful box with a nice bow and a perfect economy and a perfect market. And he has single-handedly self-inflicted wounds on this market, right? You know, if he had come to the market and said, you know what, I have a plan, I'm all about tariffs, and this is the way I'm going to do it, these are the people who will suffer, and these are the people who will benefit, the market would have dealt with it, like it dealt with everything. Markets can handle anything except uncertainty and surprises, right? So he came at the market. You remember the first day, it was February 19th, when we were at record highs once again, although, I mean, the stocks market had broken down a little. Tech was not trading at its high. And he said, I'm going to impose tariffs on Canada and Mexico, 25%. The market fell 70 handles on the S&P. And that was the beginning of it. But within a few hours, he talked back the story. Well, maybe not 25, maybe not Canada, maybe it's Mexico. You know, all that kind of, you know, mixed messaging, right? Sort of bipolar, you know, passive-aggressive attempt at trying to deal with the tariff idea. And over the next 6 weeks, the market, the confidence in the market and in him started to break down, because every day he'd throw a big blanket of very aggressive tariffs, and then he'd pull them back, right? So the market would go down and then would bounce back. And so every day we were getting this uncertainty, constant surprises, mixed messaging. And finally, the market just lost confidence, and that's why we saw the sell-off down 20%. The rally since then, we've come back about 10%, although many stocks have not rebounded, right? I think is a function of a little bit of hope in the market that if we don't sign deals, we need to sign deals, right? We still don't know anything more than we did on what Liberation Day, right? I mean, what an egomaniac. If you remember Liberation Day, he came out with this big sheet and he's imposing tariffs on every country in the world, you know, even countries that only have penguins that are living there, right? So, that's kind of insanity. So there's nothing specific still written. Yesterday they said we have a deal. Okay, who's the deal with? I can't tell you. So they're playing this cat and mouse game with investors. They're implying that the investing community are stupid, right? That we're not, you know, watching what's going on. So there's really a part of me that believes that this is an ego grab and it's a money grab. I'm surely convinced they're trading this market. They know when they say tariffs, market's going down, and then they back off, market goes back up. So, you know, if you can trade that craziness, then you can make some money in this market. From an investing point of view, it's a sketchy market, right? Long term, market's going to be fine. You know, I mean, I don't know if it'll happen while he's president, but eventually it's going to be fine. So we saw the big sell-off to 20%. We saw a little bit of a bounce back, which was more of a technical bounce back because the market was way oversold. Because net-net, before he came along and did this, the market was in great shape, right? We literally, 2024, we had 58 record closes out of 218 trading days. It was a great, great market. So he's really single-handedly, you know, sort of ruined the market in a lot of different ways. So where are we now? We need deals. We need deals with China. We need deals with India. We need deals with many different countries. Okay, right now, so I have this new show that I, you know, CNN, which is a big U.S. media company. I've been on there now for 2 weeks, every night at 7 o'clock. And so I'm talking with this guy, Dan Ives, who's the number one tech analyst in the world, works for Wedbush, super smart guy. And he has his ear, you know, to the ground, talking to Jensen at NVIDIA and talking to people in China. Apparently that there are boats that are lined up in the Gulf in China of ships that are not that are half full, because all these companies, small businesses and large businesses, Walmart, Target, they don't want to fill the boat to take delivery because they don't know what the tariffs are. If it's going to be 145% tariffs, they can't import anything, right? And if that's the case, the supply chain is going to be completely decimated. It's going to look like COVID. You're going to walk into a store and the shelves will be empty, right? I mean, the bottom line, small business is done for a while because there's no way. Can you imagine how bad it is? The last time that a company was not able to give guidance was COVID, right? It was November 2021 when Jamie Dimon said, JP Morgan, I can't give guidance because I don't know enough information. Same thing is happening now. You saw United Airlines, Delta Airlines cutting flights and claiming they can't give guidance. That's the new norm. Yesterday, General Motors, largest car company in the world, delayed release of earnings and guidance because they don't have enough information. When you start having that, it's going to start affecting growth. It's going to start having layoffs. And even though recession did not seem like a reality, right? Recession, by definition, is two back-to-back quarters of shrinking GDP, right, with massive layoffs. Today's GDP, the reason we're down this morning was the GDP number came in terrible. So we could be heading in that direction, you know, and a recession is not good, even though Mr. Trump said it's not going to be, you know, recession's not so bad. I mean, he's delusionary. So I think the clock is ticking. We're a few weeks away from serious damage. We saw that happened a few weeks ago with the bond market, right, when that was a very pivotal day. Right, you can sort of bully the stock market a little bit, but you can't bully the bond market. So a couple of weeks ago when we were having one of our bond auctions, right, the U.S. has bond auctions, right, once a month, right, the Chinese are the largest buyer of our bonds, right? Now, German bonds, in fact, are way more attractive. Everybody's going to start buying your bonds instead of our bonds. They're looking way better than ours. So China, when Mr. Trump was picking a fight with China, China said, you know what, you have a bond auction tomorrow, we're not going to buy any bonds, you're on your own, right? And at that point, the bond, in advance of the auction, the bond price goes up. When they can't sell their bonds, the bond price goes down, and the yield goes up to make it an attractive buy. The Chinese and the Japanese are the largest buyer of our bonds. If they're not buying it, then we're in trouble. So what ended up happening was it looked like we were inching towards a 5% price of the bond because China was not going to step in. At a 5% yield on the bonds, this U.S. stock market crashes. We down 10% instantly. So J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, and all the heads of the largest banks went to Trump and said, you have no idea what you're doing. If you don't make some kind of a deal or put a pause on your tariffs for 90 days, this market is going to crash. And that was the day he put the 90-day pause, but he still picked a fight with the Chinese. He said, I'm going to pause on everybody except the Chinese. So, I mean, the Chinese eventually stepped in. They did buy the auction. It got up to 4.5%, but that did damage on the bond market that it may be irreparable, right? So I think we're in deep trouble right now. You know, I think we're a couple of weeks away from massive, you know, literally, if you have hundreds of container ships that are backing up, in the port of China, in port of Beijing now, that people don't want to fill the boat with goods, right? They are already planned a change on the trip that they're going to make around the world to deliver goods because the ships are half full. Then I think we're about to be in bad shape. I don't mean to paint a bad picture. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll have him buy some stock.
So let me ask a question. Yes. Do you think the worst is still to come?
Yeah, I hate to answer that question. I don't know. I don't know is a legitimate answer. You know, there's two cases. If we start checking off boxes and we start signing deals, then the worst is behind us. If we don't and we keep this game going for two, three more weeks, then the worst is yet to happen.
Guys, do you have any questions for Peter?
Do you think that there will be a point when the Federal Reserve will step in and maybe stop cutting or buying bonds for itself?
So, look, obviously what we saw in 2024 was that the relationship between the Fed cutting rates and the market rallying was a wonderful relationship. We got very emotionally coupled. That's what everybody wanted, right? That was why when they cut the guidance at the end of 2024 to two cuts in 25 and two cuts in 26, the market started to sell off because we had gotten this relationship with interest rate cuts that's the only thing that will make the market go up is if we cut rates. The bottom line is what really makes the market go up is good corporate earnings and good corporate guidance. That's the lifeblood of a strong stock market. Apparently, and I'm not an economist, so I don't know why this is the case, but apparently we are a little too far in the economic cycle where now if we were to cut rates, it will actually be inflationary. I don't understand why, but that's what the smart guys are saying, right? And that's why they were so afraid last week when Trump claimed he was going to fire Jay Powell, right? The market sold off 1,000 points instantly because people were fearful that the market's already going down. If we change the captain of the ship in midstream to somebody who's just a Trump lackey, who's just going to do it whatever Trump says, you realize that Trump has no jurisdiction over Jay Powell, over Federal Reserve. He's not allowed to fire him. He's not allowed to even talk to him, right? But he thinks he can do whatever he wants. I hope he's not listening. I was actually on Newsmax this morning. That way I can cover myself in case I get in trouble. I can always say I was also, Newsmax is a media agency that's very far right, right? It's like, it thinks that, what's his name? The guy from Hungary is a good guy. So when we had the threat of him firing Powell, the market went down so aggressively, that was the fear that someone would come in just listening to Trump that would cut rates, which I understand, according to the smart economists, that for some reason now is very inflationary. So I don't know what the next move is there. You know, buying bonds I don't think is enough of a positive move by them. They need to do something. I don't know what they have in the toolbox. You know, for a while, cutting rates was the answer to everybody's problem. You know, the difference between, look, in 2008, with the financial crisis, they printed $800 billion and they put it into the market over 18 months. It took 6 years for the market to get back to even. COVID, they learned their lesson. They printed $3 trillion, put it in the market over 3 months. We were back to even by August. 4 months after COVID, the market was already back to even, and we were up 20% in 2020 and 21% in 2021, right? So that's where we had tools, right? We have no tools to deal with this craziness. Nobody anticipated that he would take this wonderful market and economy and single-handedly destroy it. So I don't know the answer. You know, I think if we start making big deals, you know, look, maybe this is a negotiation tactic by him. That's what he claims. This is a way to play in the playground with the bullies, right? But I don't get it. I think it's insane. We are people who have have a little bit of money, right? But I mean, you think of Americans who voted for him, who are living paycheck to paycheck. You guys don't look like you're living paycheck to paycheck. You know, those are the people who are really struggling, right? And those are the people that voted for him. And you'd be amazed that the people who work here are very radical Trump people. And they, even with the market down, I mean, if you look at, you ask anybody down here, their retirement fund is down 20% in the last 2 months. and they still are believers that he's doing the right thing. I don't think so. Any other question?
Your chance to ask Peter anything. You can ask anything.
If nobody else, can I ask?
Go ahead.
There's one.
Yeah, sure.
What would be your takeaway for the smaller investors, like 7-6 digits and down?
Okay. So, look, I, as an investor, I would rather wait until we see the momentum turn. And, you know, we started to see that a little bit, right? We are probably 8% higher than we were at the low,
yeah.
Right? You know, for a long-term investor, look, the bottom line is if history tells us anything, it's going to be okay. We will survive this, although it looks a little bit shaky. You know, I would pick my spots. I would be buying the S&P, and don't say I recommended this because I cannot tell you what to do, but I would slowly be buying the S&P already. But I would rather, you know, we had an old expression on Wall Street, don't try and catch a falling knife, right?
Yeah.
You know, when the market was, if we start to see the market turn back down, I would wait until we get these deals. I would rather buy once the momentum turned, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're already in the market, I wouldn't sell,
All right?
I wouldn't sell. I mean, if you haven't sold yet, I wouldn't sell now, right? I would be a better buyer now, but I don't know if I would buy yet. I would rather wait until the momentum turns and rather buy, chase the momentum when smart people are buying the market than, as we say, try and catch a falling knife.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would, right now already, you know, we will know in the next few weeks what's going to happen. It's either going to get really bad, in which case I would just sit back and wait, you know, because, look, we've seen, I don't know if I've ever seen this movie before, but we've seen crashes before. I call this a mini crash. You know, and we've gotten over those crashes, right? So, you know, we will live beyond Mr. Trump, you know, unless he is the president forever and ever, and then we're in deep trouble. It's possible, right? He already signed an executive order to make him president for life. So who knows what will happen?
Very much. And that is valid for all stock markets, not only US, I think.
You know what, right now, I mean, from what I'm hearing from, you know, I love asking people who I think are smarter. I know I look like Einstein. I'm not that smart. You know, people are buying German bonds, right? They apparently are way more attractive than ours. You know, maybe crypto is a good hedge. You know, maybe that's a way to set yourself up. Surely gold has had an amazing run, right? But as far as, you know, there are, if you think about it right now, we did a thing yesterday on, I started being on CNN every night. It's just a temporary thing, but it's fun because it's a different group of people. It turns out, as of now, most of the European markets are up 4%, 5%, 6%. Canada and Mexico are up 20% and 8%. We are actually the only market globally, except Turkey. We are outperforming Turkey. Otherwise, we are the worst performing market in the world. So, you know, that's pretty shaky. So I would be patient. I think you'll get a sense once the momentum turns, you know, because my gut is that, you know, even though it seems like he wants to do harm to the market, I can't imagine that, you know, what happened the first time was he surrounded himself by smart people, right? He had Gary Cohen, ex-head of Goldman Sachs, was an advisor. Right now, the people surrounding him are not the smartest, tools in the shed. So you'll know when it's time to buy.
All right, got you.
You're up.
Yeah, you talk about this right now. The valuation of the dollar is going down, money is flowing to Europe. And so is this something Wall Street talks about, that maybe the valuation in Europe or Asia is so much cheaper than here in the U.S.? And this is also a reason why American stocks are down and the other stocks are up?
You know what? It's possible. I don't know that much about that. All right, dollar is not something I know much about. But yes, what I'm hearing the people on the CNN show are talking about is that the U.S. dollar is down 5%, and that is significant. And that Europe definitely appears like a very attractive investment option. And whether it's, we have not talked about that, but that's a really smart thought, is that one of the reasons that people are selling U.S. equities, besides the fact of what else is going on, is the fact of the condition of the dollar. Apparently, the dollar has not been in this situation since, I don't know, pre-COVID or something. It's been at this level, but that's a smart idea.
So maybe is this is one of the goals of the government to bring down the value of the dollar?
You know what? I don't know. Apparently, one of Trump's goals was, I mean, if you were to try and ask people who are supporters of him, what could be the motivation about tanking our market, right? That made any sense, that the idea behind it was if we tank our market and then we cut interest rates, then we will be able to refinance the $1.7 trillion or $7.1 trillion debt that the U.S. governor has at a way lower rate. That was what people think. To me, it made no sense. There had to have been a better way to refinance that debt. I mean, that seemed like a huge undertaking, and whether it seemed worthwhile to completely knock this market down 20% in 6 weeks as an excuse to do that. It made no sense to me.
Very young guys here.
Fantastic, yes.
Yeah, over there as well.
Hi, guys.
What would you recommend to how to invest the money when you are 10, 15 right now?
10 or 15, that's a good question. So I think you should all, so look, I run an academy. Right, teaching people not that age, but probably anywhere from 18 to 25, how to start trading the market. Right, you know, we are the biggest consumer. You guys, I consider myself young, the biggest consumer generation, right, of all time. Everybody has Instagram. They love buying stuff. I'm sure you have a closet full of stuff, right? I do. I have a closet full of stuff. My children have a closet full of stuff. You know, the bottom line is we love buying things that the minute we buy them, they go down in value, right? If I was talking to my 15-year-old self, so, you know, I would definitely, if I was young, there are trading apps in the United States that are available for children as young as 15 years old to start putting $10, $15, you know, a month into the market. You know, the reality of the numbers are if at the age of 18, you put $250 a month into the S&P 500. At the age of 60, you will have $1.2 million of passive income. Now, $1.2 million is sexy. 60 years old is not so sexy. But you know, those numbers don't lie. That's amazing, right? And so we don't think about that. You know, think about all the time, all the money that we waste in a month, you know, that we could be putting there, that we just buying whatever, buying, you know, going to Starbucks or whatever we're wasting money on. So, you know, I would love, you know, speak to your parents and find out a way that you can put $50 a month or whatever, or $10 a month into the stock market, you know, German stock market or the U.S. stock market for sure. But, you know, this is the age where you should be doing that. And then what ends up happening is you change your whole, the psychology of it, right? And you'll look, as opposed to looking, you know, buying all these nice things. You look great, though. Nice clothes and things that people, kids love to look at. You'll be able to look on your phone and see, where's my phone? It's over there. And see your portfolio go from $20 to $30 to $40. That's cool, right? And that can become cool, right? Well, I speak to high schools here in America all the time. I do these Zoom calls to high schools and colleges, trying to get young people to sort of divert their attention from just buying stuff. One of the taglines I use is, invest in stocks and not stuff. Like, we love to buy stuff, right? A million pairs of sneakers, a million this, a million that absolutely have no value. So, but still have a lot of fun is most important.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.